Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Father to the fatherless, defender of the weak, freedom for the prisoners, we sing. This is God in His holy place. This is God clothed in love and strength. Sing out, lift your voice and cry out, awesome is our strong God, mighty is our God. With us in the wilderness, faithful to provide every breath and every step, we sing. This is God in His holy place. This is God clothed in love and strength. Sing out, lift your voice and cry out, awesome is our strong God. Out, ready.
You know, the Lord Jesus came to the earth and he was looking for fellowship. He was looking for a brotherhood. And this is our desire this evening. Amen. You can all be seated this evening. Amen. Lord is good. Amen. Wonderful, wonderful presence. If we went ahead and closed the service tonight, we could say that we've been to the house of God. You say, well, we need the word. And I say, yea and amen. Word breaks the yoke. Amen. The word breaks the bondage, the chains, the shackles. It has all authority over sin, over death. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to be in a perfect peace? Amen. You know, the Bible says to give honor whose honor's due, and I don't like flattery. I've had people come to me, you know, and you preach the word and thanks, and sometimes people flatter you. It's fine to give honor, you know, and I could say I appreciate that. I'm sure not the kind of individual that's going to try to flatter anybody. I spoke to a sister here, Sister Keisha's mother, and I told her thank you. You know, and brethren, some of you aren't grandparents, and some of you may not even be parents, and some of you are, and different things. But I was thanking her, you know, because I know the sacrifice of when your family takes off and goes out of state. You know, I've got one child out of state right now. I had my family, which many of them was on the platform singing this evening, and they were out in Colorado for a season, of, you know, for a couple years or whatever it may have been. And it's tough. I know that. I would never want to be partakers of burdening a family. But I know our Lord and our God, and we willingly make sacrifices. And I could take you into the scriptures, and in so many places, God raised people up and moved them out of the land of their kindred and utilized them for the work of God. So you say, is this what you're commending a sister for? And I say, well, that's a start of it. You know, we're a church. We're a hospital. We're physicians. These are terminologies that we could use to express what we are, the sick need a physician. And many times we find that people may be crossing state lines and are coming here because they need much help. You know, and this is what we do, and we're glad to do that. But you know, sometimes people cross state lines to become helpers with you, another physician possibly, and take part of the load and part of the burden. And I'm saying this is that there's many times that a lot is said by children and grandchildren. There's a whole lot said. You know, you could watch children, how they talk, how they act, their manners and many things, and you know what's going on in the household. You've never been in the home of the people, don't know anything about them. But when you meet the children and grandchildren, a lot of times you know a whole lot about a home. Come on now. And again, brethren, is that as Brother Frady and his wife and kids have come here to labor with us in our school, in the ministry, in the preaching of the word and the gospel. You know, it's been a blessing. And I'm commending a mother and a grandmother here and a sister and saying thank you. You know, I'm an appreciative person when people give up loved ones and say, you know, hey, we know that there's greater things than family, and it's to follow the leading of the Lord. Do you realize when you don't yield to the Spirit of God and the leading of the Lord that your family could be miserable? People can go through hardships, heartaches. You know, the Bible even commands little children. It said, children, you know, you could shorten your days by being disobedient to parents. So, you know, we know how God is and how God works. And the thing is that when children, your children, whoever's children, when they're obedient, they're courteous, and they're kind, isn't something that they just do when they get outside of home. You know, if you say, well, I'm going to give them church, they're going to be good, but they're hellions at home, you know, or little terrors. No, it ain't that way. Let me tell you something. You know, when the household's in order, amen. And, you know, we talk about the attributes of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what I want to bring forth, the attributes. And you see, we could find the attributes of the Lord in mothers and grandmothers and dads and grandfathers, and we could find it in our children, amen. I just, again, say thank you, amen. Can we give her a hand, amen? Praise the Lord. If your husband was here, I would say the same. Amen. You know, God knows that's not flattery. If I thought you were, you know, desiring such a things, I'd have to stay away, because people that look for flattering, those kind of things, it destroys them. Pride, arrogance, and all those things are not a good thing. But I feel that I could speak from the heart. Amen. You know, I was talking with an individual here in the last few days about the anointing of God. And we all have an idea what the anointing is. You know, we have an idea what we think's when there's an anointing. And, you know, many times we could see the anointing move a certain way in an individual. It might be a man, it might be a woman, it might be a child, it might be an anointed singing, it might be anointed preaching or whatever. And then we could limit God to such a way, saying, well, you know, when the anointing comes, this is what we do. You know, we could think that the anointing is when the preacher, man, he preaches his voice slap out, runs around the church a couple times, shouts, man, and praise God for those things, when it's the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. But I've seen people come, and the anointing might have moved that way last night. It might have moved that way last week. And they think, well, we just do this, and it brings the anointing. Not necessarily, because when the flesh is in operation, it could quench and kill the anointing of God. Amen. And let me tell you something. You could be sitting and speaking and talking very low. You know, a lot of times we think, well, this is how we cast out devils. Come out of them in the name of Jesus. And you grab them and a stern, you say, I rebuke you. You say, oh, yeah. But you know what? Let me tell you something. You could be talking. In the presence of God, the anointing of God, even the shadow of Peter, delivered and healed. Amen. Now, the thing is that we don't want to limit God in how he operates and how he does. You know, the thing is I've been involved in things in my life that took much training. You know, where you had to really press in. You had to really apply yourself. You had to really tune in. You had to listen. I'm certified as a pilot, and I'm a licensed aircraft mechanic, and I could go on through other trades and skills. And there was a lot of things I had to really press into. But what about making it into the kingdom of God? You know, when we think of the most greatest thing a man or woman could do is to make preparations to enter into the kingdom of our Lord and Savior and to receive and have faith and believing in everything that he has given us and granted unto us, for we could be about his business. So how much more so should we be diligent about those things? But we could limit God in such a way. I think the prophet that was riding on the back of an ass and it spoke to him wasn't expecting for a beast to speak to him. But didn't he? So we can't limit God. And we can't narrow his anointing. We are the anointed of God. When you're full of the Holy Ghost, you are the anointed of God. You say, well, I'm looking for the anointing. You need to come to a revelation that you are the anointing. Amen? You know, that you say, oh man, you can't take the glory. And I say, we are the glory of God. Now see, that would offend some. But we're his children. We're the sons of God. That's what the Bible teaches us. And we need to understand these things. We need to know who we are. Some of you remember the message that's been a year and a half ago preached, that you don't know who you are. Do you realize that if a son of God knows who he is, can you imagine the things that they can accomplish? Come on now, I'm talking about you, brethren. I'm not sitting here trying to build a message to make me something. I'm the least of y'all. But I know who you are. And I know that you are not limited. When you're full of the Holy Ghost and the power of God, you're not limited. You could make the impossible things possible because that's what God's Word says. So if there's limitations in what you do, it's because you've allowed the limitations through your carnal mind and through your thought. You know, I know that people can be overconfident. But see, overconfidence isn't a spiritual thing, it's a fleshly thing. I have all confidence in Him. I have no confidence in me. The Bible says, put no confidence in the flesh. Now, the thing is when you think you're dealing with flesh, you could say, well, I'm looking at Brother Paul, or I'm looking at my wife's sister, or I'm looking at Brother Andy, or whatever. And we can say, well, you know, I got no confidence. You should have no confidence in your flesh. If you can do anything, it's through Christ who strengthened you. So we've got to learn to start differentiating between your first birth and your second birth, or your born again. You need to start differentiating between your outer man and your inner man. You need to start separating between your fleshly skills and abilities and religious ideology and your understanding, your revelations, and your thoughts. Do you realize that? You could be so skilled in the scriptures, you know, and you got to come to a revelation that the letter of the law killeth. And you could take this Bible and be Mr. Bible Thumper, and you could be killing somebody. But if you're spirit-led, you may not know your way around in your Bible very well, but you're spirit-led and you're filled with the Spirit of God and you love people, and you could simply share the love of God with somebody and win a soul. And couldn't tell them if Proverbs was an Old Testament or New Testament passage. Do you realize that? I think about the zeal that I had when I got saved and set free. When I got delivered and set free from a wretched worldly life, I remember when I would be so embarrassed in church, the preacher would say, turn over to book such and such, man. And I'm like, you know, I've got that index open, you know. And I'd see these people just going there. And I think, man, I should know this. But you know what? I was in love with the Lord, and I would share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and people would be moved. I couldn't have told what happened to me. I couldn't have expressed the power that I had received. I could not have put those into experience, but I knew one thing. I was in love with my Lord and my God. Amen. And I knew that He took some kind of a weight off me, a shackle off me, and a burden off me. And I felt better than any drugs that I ever took. Felt better than anything. It was something He caught me away into that I'd never experienced. Amen. And that's real. Amen. That's real. Now, I'm going to say some things. I'm going to try to just teach. You know, sometimes I try to teach and I end up preaching. But I love to teach and to talk about the Word of God. Some of these things that we'll be speaking about aren't going to be new revelations to some of you. Some of them may be. Some of them I might be just stirring up that mind in you to think on these things. Amen. And if you don't, maybe you're not applying them and acting upon them. Now I'm going to say some things, and please try to, the Bible said a wise man hears the end of the matter. I could turn you over there. Chuck might want to put it up, but it's in 1 John 5. There's a scripture about water, blood, and spirit. And the Bible said these three agree in one. It talks about water, blood, and spirit in the earth, and it said these three agree in one. Maybe he could just put that up there for we can have just a little bit of a foundation of thought here. And you say, well, what is that speaking about? Then it says Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. And it said these three are one. If we're going to try to use this water, blood, and spirit, Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. So I'm going to speak some scriptures tonight. And I'm not going to take time to ask and put them all up there, but it would be your obligation to search them out. Or if you want to challenge me, I'm not offended. You know, and if I don't have an answer in the Word of God, I got no business preaching it. Okay? So I'm not offended if somebody doesn't know. But see, there's a lot of people I could be speaking and say things, and they think I'm applying it to me as a man. No. I'm applying it to me as a blood-bought, born-again son of God. Now, if you think, well, what do you mean son of God? Well, Jesus said He's the firstborn of many brethren. Anybody ever read that? Okay, and I could take you to 1 John 3. He could back up a couple chapters there. And go ahead and put 1 John 3 up there, right there at the very beginning. And we're going to make a little bit of foundation for we could see the authority that we have is in the Word of God and not just speaking some religious ideology. Amen? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. When is this, brethren? When is this? Okay, now, I remember we had a president a few years ago back and they put him on the stand and he took, you know, an oath to tell the truth. And he said, could you define is? So if the president was ignorant enough to ask somebody to define what is, then maybe I should take the time to say what now means. Come on now. What is now? If I told Brother Frady, I said, Brother, I'm going to give you $100,000. He might not get too excited. Well, when is that going to be, Brother Ron? Oh, I was thinking about 49 years from now. Oh, gosh. You know, man, I'm going to be an old rascal. Might even turn ugly. Amen. But you know, if I told him, and he says, well, when's that going to be, Brother Rob? I say, now. I'll tell you what, I think we might see a little Pentecostal in him, huh? Son, son, he's going to give me some money, amen? So I think we know what now is. If I say, beloved, you know, thank God for what my Lord has done. He's given me this. I'm a son of God. Now. You see, some people are looking for eternal life. I am now living eternal life. I am eternal. Amen? When they went to Jesus, now He was the firstborn of many brethren, and my Father isn't a respecter of persons, so this is when He's speaking about His first begotten Son. And then what about me and what about you? Come on now. What about us? Let me read a scripture to you. Verse 12 right here, John 14, 12. But I want to say something to you to get you out of this manly or fleshly, this worldly ideology or mindset that, oh, you know, I'm not perfect and I can't do anything. And I say, shut up, please. Know who you are in Jesus. Amen. Right here it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Okay, now let's talk about that for a second. Okay, I'm the least of y'all. Okay? My Bible teaches me to esteem my brethren greater than myself. That's not hard to do. when you fall in love with Jesus, see how great he is. Amen. The Bible said we know we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Okay, but now here's this passage of scriptures here saying that greater things than we're going to do than what Jesus did. Somebody tell me, I want you to just speak up. I'm asking you to do this. You're not going to be interrupting. But I want you to tell me something that Jesus done. Somebody tell me. What's that? He resurrected Lazarus. Okay, so now here's a man that Jesus said was asleep. Has anybody here ever woke anybody up? And he said, oh no, Lord, he's not asleep. He's been in the tomb for 4 days by now. I mean, you know, he stinketh by now. Okay, so we're going to use your manly, fleshly terminology. Jesus wasn't wrong when he said he's asleep. Sons of God don't die. Okay? They don't die. They cannot die. My Bible said, I passed from death unto life. Amen? I've passed from death unto life. The Bible said the last name of God was death. And it's been abolished. I believe that. You may not believe it because you might have put grandma in the box. You might have put granddaddy in a box or mom in the box, daddy in the box, whatever. And you say, I don't believe it. Well, I believe it. Amen. If mama and grandma and granddaddy was born again believers, they ain't dead. Amen. They're absent from that old body. It's considered sleep and they're present with the Lord. That's what my Bible says. That's what I believe. And there ain't no death around that. Amen. We need to start believing the Word of God. Amen. The Bible said at that time of their departing is not the time to mourn. It's the time of rejoicing. The time of mourning is once born in this world. Oh, what a little cute little grandbaby I got. Isn't he so precious? I could see Grandma hold Micah, cute little fella. And the Bible said that's the time to mourn. I got to raise this little guy up. I got to train him up in the way that he should go. I'm going to have to fight and pray and fast and believe. Yeah, there's something to mourn about. Now, I know that we, you know, sound like we're getting beside ourselves a little bit, but I'm just trying to speak to you by the mind of God. I ask a question. I said, what are some of the things that Jesus has done? And have you done anything greater than that? Okay, well, let's talk about Lazarus for a minute. I believe Lazarus because the Lord said he was asleep. I believe he's a son of God. You heard me say that. I believe he's God's. Okay, now he resurrected. He come forth. But you know, you might not read the recordings done of it, but every other great man of God and things that we've read about, they went back into the dirt, didn't they? The Bible said the forefathers that are asleep. And it talks about these fathers that begot us in the gospel, and it talked about them being asleep. So I'd say that Lazarus went back to sleep, huh? I'm sure he's present with the Lord, so don't misunderstand me, but I'm trying to tell you, you said, well, that's an awesome thing. So what's another thing that Jesus did? He took some spittle, a little dirt, created an eye, didn't he? Hey, that's awesome, ain't he? Now, I've said these things, and I've taught these things for we can understand, but let's talk about this. Some of you know the sister's name that wrote many of the songs that we sing out of the hymn books. Fanny what? Crosby, blind woman. Now, some of you may have read her testimony. And she said, you know, if somebody prayed for me and I got my sight, I would reject it. She says, I'm afraid that I would not see what I see now. Do you realize that this world of vanity, the Bible said that the things that you see with these eyes is vanity and vexation of the spirit. Now, I'm just giving you a testimony of this blind woman that wrote beautiful songs in the Word of God that we sing and praise the Lord. And she said, I would reject this healing because I'm seeing something now. So now the thing is that I might have a man that's blind and I lay hands on him. And I say, in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I command sight in you in Jesus' name. And the guy's eyes open. And man, everybody shouts and everybody praises God, man. And you have troubles containing people. You feel the rapturing faith. And I may have put that man in hell. Did you ever think of that? I'm just giving you something to think about. I love to challenge people in their thinking. You say, what do you mean, Brother Rob? The man might have been blind. The Bible said if your hands offend you, you're better off to cut them off and make it into God's kingdom. You understand that maimed as go into hell with all of your limbs and hands. If your eyes offend you, pluck them out. And maybe God, it says lay hands on no man suddenly. Why does it say that? Why? And maybe this man is blind and he's got a relationship with God. He ain't being tainted or taunted by this world and the flesh and the lust of the flesh. But then Mr. Pentecostal, I command sight, and the guy gets sight and he starts lusting after a woman. A man looketh upon a woman and lusts after, he commits adultery. Now he's got eyes that offend him. He'd have been better off to pluck them out. And now because of the lust, and the Bible said that he lust committeth adultery, my Bible says no adulterer will enter into the kingdom. I'm just trying to challenge the way we think sometimes. How could I do any greater thing than Jesus? I mean, come on, Jesus opened up eyes. Now I'm going to go back to that scripture that I put on the board for foundation of thought. Water and the earth agree. Water, blood, and spirit. Water, blood, and spirit. Now what are these talking about, Brother Rob? One has to do with the natural. One has to do with physical. And one has to do with spiritual. How did Jesus come into this earth? And you say, well, Brother Rob, he was spirit. And I say, okay, let's talk about that. My Bible said that the Father, if we go up through the same scriptures, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost said these three are one. The Father's spirit, no man has seen. There are other places in the scripture that said the Father's invisible. I'm not going to go into Trinitarian oneness doctrine. I'm not either one. So, you know, if I talk a certain way, the Trinitarians get mad at me and think, oh man, he's a oneness. And I talk another way and the oneness get mad at me and say, oh, he's a Trinitarian. Well, I believe in Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. You know why? Because I got Bible for that. Now, the thing is, Catholicism has tainted the Word of God. Now, if that offends you to think that Catholicism or the Catholic Church has perverted the Scriptures and the Word of God, I'm sorry if that offends you. You'll just have to be settled with being offended. But the Catholic Church has put multiplied millions of people into hell, I'm sorry to say. My Bible says this. It says they preach any other gospel than what Jesus Christ preached, let them be accursed. The Bible teaches about blind leaders and blind leading the blind, and they all fall into the ditch. Amen. So the thing is this shouldn't be a shock to you to think that there's false religions and false prophets and things, because the Bible's full of this, telling us about these things. We expose them. Does it make us better? No, it makes us accountable. So now, we find that, you know, when we say the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, the Father's Spirit, no man has seen. You know, the Father said, heaven is my throne and this earth is my footstool. Now, are you going to put that in a person? I'm just asking you. I'm going to help you. Now, I'm a person. My wife's a person. Brother Randy's a person. You know, I'm limited as a person in what I can do. Do you realize that? Now, when I'm talking about a son of God, I'm stepping beyond the person. I'm talking about something in the spirit, another world. Natural, physical, spiritual, water, blood, spirit. First, second, third heaven. Body, soul, spirit. These are terminologies. I stayed within the scriptures and the word of God and everything I just said. I'm not some kind of new age wacko. I'm just talking about the Bible. We need to understand it. I could take you into the scriptures and said, I don't know whether I was in body or in spirit, but no, I was caught away into third heaven. Saw things that he didn't even know if could be uttered. So if there's a third heaven, there's a second and a first. Now, I've got Bible now. I'm staying within the Word of God because I've read it in the Bible of a third heaven, and you can't have a third anything unless you had a second. If I said, man, I was really dry tonight, this is my third glass of water, you know I done sucked down two of them. Isn't that right? You say, man, you're talking to us like we're ignorant, Brother Rob. You're defining is and you, and now you're talking about third. Hey, but I'm telling you, sometimes we really got to make sure we cross the T's and dot the I's, because people are in religious theologies and ideologies, and they trample the Word of God. We got people tuned in by the way of the internet that watch us and asking questions, and they don't understand a lot of things. I take time to teach. The Bible said that the pastor needs to be apt to teach. I'm not trying to vindicate or justify my existence, but if I'm going to be doing something, I need to line up with the Word of God. Amen. So this is what we do, is we teach people. The Bible says that ye are gods, but you die like men because of a lack of knowledge. I'm bringing to a knowledge that you won't die, because we pass from death unto life. And you simply got to believe this, and by faith. And if you don't have faith, you can't please God or know God. So all this is about faith. Faith come by hearing the word. Amen. You know, you say, well, it's just a parabolic speech to say that the earth is his footstool. Well, is it just parabolic speech that he knows the number of hairs on your head? Now, a person is going to have a real problem going around. And did anybody notice him coming by as a person and counting the hairs on your head? Now, Jesus, the Bible said, was speaking of the Godhead. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The Spirit of the Father dwelled in him in the fullness. Comes to you and I by measure. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Now, if Jesus said, I know the numbers on your head, he might have been doing some counting, right? But now the Father knows everything. Omniscient. He knows all things. He's everywhere. He's at the highest height, the deepest depth. There's no distance to him. There's no time to him. He's not a person. The Bible very clearly says he's a spirit. Okay? The Bible says this, New Testament doctrine, speaking of the Spirit of the Father. It said, the same Spirit that dwelled within Christ Jesus shall dwell in you, in your mortal body. Is that right? And this Spirit that's dwelling in your mortal body will change you in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It'll make you pass from death unto life. Amen? So now we're identifying some of these dimensions. So we talk about water, blood, and spirit. The water world is a natural world, and it parallels beautifully the physical world and the spiritual world. I could take you over to Romans 1:20, and it said the unseen things of the spirit world. And I could take you in another passage of Scripture that said the Spirit is invisible. The Father's invisible, no man is seen. Talks about invisible principalities and powers and thrones and dominions. Well, I'm not infatuated or moved by things invisible. Well, yes, you are. The Bible said there's a great cloud of witness encamped around about us. The Bible said that these spirits, that we take authority over them and cast them out, and they go out seeking in the dry places, looking for a place of inhabitation. These are spirits, brethren, and they're invisible to this naked eye, but they could come and take a man, and they could take a woman. They make mothers slice their children's throat. They make mothers take pickaxes and put them through the skulls of their husband. I deal with prisoners and inmates that are good people. I just met a young lady over here in the prison that is in there for life's sentence for killing a baby. You see, demon spirits make people do things that they normally wouldn't do. These invisible spirits are looking for a place of inhabitation. They're going to come and move in to people. You say, well, I don't believe that a Christian could be possessed by a devil. I'm with you. I'm in 100% agreement with you. But let me tell you something. They could sure oppress one. They could tear your day up if you yield to them and don't. My Bible said, draw nigh unto the Lord and resist the devil and he flees. And I find people, they come into my presence, they're having a bad day, they're tore up. You know, they don't have no victory, they don't have no joy, they don't have no authority, they don't have no power. Why? Because they gave place to an invisible spirit that came and started tapping on their ear and saying, you can't do it. You know, the accuser of the brethren and the liar. And he starts saying, oh, you can't do it, you'll fail, this and that. And you happen to believe him when you should have said, shut up, Satan, get you behind me. Amen? We've got a few things opened up here. It might take us, you know, we'll have you out here by 3 this morning. Amen? Ain't a problem. Amen? Some of you are smiling, some of you are scared because you've been in them services before. Amen. Hallelujah. So we say water, blood, spirit, and we say the water world. I'm going to say some little things as just little key elementary things to introduce you to thought. I'm born of God. Is anybody else born again in here? I'd like to see every hand. Amen. Okay, so you're born again. So I say, brethren, I can't sin. Now, I could have him pull that same passage of Scriptures up there and read this to you. Come on now. The Bible said, ye that are born of God cannot sin. And it goes on to tell you why. Why? Because the seed remaineth in you that keepeth you from sin. Okay, what seed is that? Now, because we're speaking of dimensions, I'm going to differentiate some dimensions for you, okay? Now, when I tell you that I cannot sin, then I could turn around and tell you all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I got Bible for that. Okay, and it's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. And I stand here and tell you, I can't die. And you say, well, you just violated the word. Oh, no, I didn't violate the word. You want to talk to me as a man? Oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? The things that I want to do, I don't do. The very things I find myself doing are those things I don't want to do. Who's going to deliver me from this? So if you want me to talk to you as a man, we can get real depressed here in just a moment. Man's appointed to death, back to the dust. You know, but thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ that came to set us free from this curse and from this damnation and from this judgment and from death. Amen. We're sons of God. We pass from death unto life. We're eternal. We're living forever. You see, now doesn't that sound much better? Amen. So you, well, wait a minute, Brother Rob, I'm just not sure. I mean, I know I'm a man. I got aches and pains and you know, and I've got limitations and this and I said, well, keep yielding to them and you'll die by them. Come on now. But we're going to walk in the Spirit. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, the Bible says. Okay, so now we're differentiating. So I could sit here and testify to you that I'm born of God and I cannot sin because this seed remaineth in me. So let's talk about which seed that is. Let's talk about the water, blood, and spirit that agree in one in the earth. So I go out here to anybody in here like apples. Okay. Now an apple tree comes off of an apple comes off an apple tree. I think that's getting real elementary here tonight. Boy, I tell you what, I got your revelation of you tonight and is. Woohoo! And apples come from apple trees. Praise God. Amen. But let me tell you, the Bible said the seed that is in the earth, let it reproduce after its kind. And you know, the grass that said, if we go over into Genesis, said, let that seed that's there come forth and bring forth after its kind. The grass is going to bring forth grass, and the apple's going to bring forth apple, orange, bring forth an orange. And this is what that seed does. Y'all with me? Okay, so we got a water seed relative to the water world. You remove the water from the water world seed, that apple dries up and dies, the tree dies. That tree is dependent on water life. This is your earth. This is your natural earth. Now there's a beautiful parallel to this natural earth, to your physical body. Let me just say a couple things for you. The earth is covered up with about 60% water. Do you know that your body's made up of about 60% water? Did you know that? Go and check it with your science and you're going to find out that's so. The thing is we could talk about many parallels between this. We can go into Genesis and said the Spirit of God moved over the face of the deep and moved over the waters and spoke and said, let there be light. And you say, you're talking about the creation of the earth. No, I'm talking about the creation of man. It parallels. I'm showing you the parallel. I was without form and void and darkness upon the face of my deep when I didn't know Jesus Christ. I was bound to darkness of carnality and human reasoning. But the Spirit of God moved over this. You understand that? He moved over me, the Holy Ghost. And he said, let there be light. Let there be revelation. Let there be understanding. Let there be faith. And all of a sudden, something came alive. And then there was a differentiation between the firmament and the dry land when it talks about coming into appearance. And then the separation in the heavens. You see, there's a body, soul, and a spirit. We're starting to see some parallels here and starting to understand. So then this curse comes to mankind and the earth is tilted on its axis and it's wobbling through space and it's causing these seasons. But my Bible said, ye, as the sons of God, are not given to change. We're instant in season, out of the season. You know what that means? We always have fruit on our trees. We don't have no winter time of our life. Amen? We always have fruit. If there's no fruit on the tree, take an axe to it and be cast in the lake of fire. I'm just showing you some parallels. So the earth is tilting on its axis, and mankind in the fall tilted on its axis in the fall. But then yet, we find the Word of God come to us and speaks righteousness to us. And we come upright by renewing our mind, transforming our mind into the mind of Christ. We transform ourselves through the mind, in the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, that thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You say, Brother Rob, come on, we can't be equal with God. He said we could do greater things. Come on now. Now I'm scaring you. Just take it easy. I've had some looking at that back door. You reckon it's open? They didn't lock it, did they? Woman asked me, she says, Brother Rob, do you really believe the rapture's already taken place? And I said, don't you? Boy, this woman, man, I tell you what, son, she was ready to hit that door. And I said, well, let me explain that, okay? We know rapture's not a biblical word, but I do know what the Bible says. It said that we're dwelling in heavenly places. Y'all, anybody else read that in the Word besides me? Do y'all believe that we're dwelling in heavenly places? How'd you get there? Jesus said, where I am, you'll be there also. Amen. He caught my spirit up with him, hid away. Nothing could be laid to its charge. Amen. I'm hid away in Christ. What are you talking about? I'm talking about that invisible part, just like the Father. I'm talking about the part of me that was leaping for joy before the world ever was. Amen. And you say, well, you know, you're getting way out there, man, on some things there, preacher. And I said, hey, I'm just talking about the wonderful things of my God. I'm nothing. I'm the least of all of you. I don't claim to know anything, but he knows everything. We just got to stay with his word. Prove me wrong. Get your scriptures. Dig in the word. Call me. Write me. I'm staying in the word of God. People say, I think you're a cult. You know? And I say, well, that's okay. Pray for me then. But I'm just trying to preach the same thing Jesus preached. This verse right here, verse 12. In John 14, I find preachers stay away from that. You know, like, well, I just don't understand that. How can we do greater things? Brethren, let me tell you a greater thing than raising Lazarus from the dead. Let me tell you a greater thing than taking spittle and making a dirt eyeball and putting it in a man's head. A greater thing is when a man walks through that door that could outrun this old fat preacher. Huh? And he could look at the eye chart on the back wall without none of these things on and say, yeah, A, E, I, and B, and C, or whatever. Huh? And he got perfect vision, is what I'm saying. And he's healthy as could be, and he could run twice as fast as this old boy here. But I look at him by the Spirit of God, and he's blind, and he has no ears to hear, and he's lame, and he's never walked in the Spirit. And I bring the Word of God to him, and he gets set free, and he starts walking in the Spirit, and he starts seeing beyond the veil of the flesh, and starts seeing into the eternal world of God. There's something greater. And you know why? That's why we're doing it greater. Because he had to do what he done. He had to abolish death. And the only way he could do that was by being killed right there on the cross of Calvary and sending that Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That Spirit of the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of the Father. I could take you back to John. It said the Holy Spirit, and it said the Father. Now the Bible said that he is Spirit. You can go check this out. The Bible said Father, Spirit, no man has seen. The Spirit's invisible. The Spirit came in the fullness of Jesus, the Word made flesh. Okay? And now we go into the second dimension, and we're going to talk about this for a minute. Let me pick up that for a minute. Let's go back to the seed. We talked about the apple and orange seed. Okay, we talk about the grass seed, the flower seed, and it said it cometh up, and it comes out in its beauty, like man, it said, and it flourishes for a season, and it dries up and withers away. Well, that's what man does also. We're talking about the parallels now. So now we step over into the next dimension, and we say physical. Second heaven, body, souls, and spirit. Natural, physical, and spiritual. Physically, man. Blood seed, semen. Okay? This is decent, brethren. We're just talking about recreation. The Negro man seed goes into the woman and brings forth a Negro man. A white man brings forth his seed, goes into the woman, goes into the earthen vessel. Plants the seed, comes forth the white man, the yellow man, the Chinese man, the Japanese man, the seed goes in. I think we got the point here, right? Okay, so we got a water seed. Relative to the water world, recreates after its kind. We got a blood seed. Is this blood seed what gives us eternal life that keepeth us from sin? No, there was a curse in the blood, brethren. This is why Jesus came not by the blood seed of man. There was an overshadowing of the Holy Spirit and spoke this life, this seed of life. Now, if we're talking about a body, soul, and a spirit, we're going to have to find these lives in each one. Now, there's a water world life out here, and it's relative to water. You take the water away from the trees, again, it dies. Now we come into the physical realm. It's relative to blood. Come on now. It's relative to blood. Jesus didn't come to promote blood life. He came to promote spirit life. The Bible said he condescended from heaven to men of less estate to bring this gospel. Okay? This is what you and I are. We're ambassadors for Christ. Now here's the problem that Jesus had when he went into Nazareth, and it said there wasn't many miracles wrought there, right? Now, was he limited? Did he not know who he was when he was in Nazareth? No, they didn't know who he was. The Bible said they're sick and afflicted among us. Why? It tells us why. I'm just stirring up this pure mind in you. It said they're sick and afflicted among us because they do not know how to discern the body of the Lord. You're just an old fat preacher. You're some ignorant airplane driver come out here from California. Okay, so be it. But then, you know, you're not to know me after the flesh. They knew Jesus after the flesh. Word made flesh, and they couldn't receive him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They couldn't receive him as the Messiah. They couldn't receive him as the God that had no beginning or no end. And he talked to them that way, and they couldn't receive it. I come here and I say, I've got all authority and all power in the name of my Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. And you say, oh, you're the man. Did the same thing to Jesus. I'm not offended by that. I just feel sorry for you because you limited an unlimited God. See, I'm not telling you what I could do. I'm telling you what he could do. And all I am is the Son of God. All I am is bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. That's all I am. I could do nothing outside of him. Now listen, let's talk about Jesus. Did he have power of his own? But where'd the power come from? The Father gave him all power, is what it says. Go read it in the commission right there in Matthew 28. It said that all power had been given unto him. The Bible said that there's no other name given among men that thou shalt be saved. It's Jesus and it's him alone. Don't be ashamed of that. So we're talking about seeds, and we find a seed relative to the water world, and we take the water away from it, and it dies. You remove the blood out of your body, you're dead. Nobody's going to discredit that, are they? I'm tired of this life. Blood goes to flowing, and pretty soon you're gone. This old physical body is blood life. What you have to understand, saints of God, is that through the progression of the church ages, that God has made some progressional changes and dimensional changes. Now, I can take you back into Genesis, and I can show you in there when Eve was in the transgression in the fall, transgressed against God. You cannot eat of this tree in the midst of the garden. And they went and ate of it, partook of it, defied God. The devil lied, the father of all lies. He lied to her and said, hey, it's good, it's pleasing to the eye. Go ahead and eat of this, man, it's good. That was all truth. But he said, oh, surely you won't die. That was the lie. So right then, there was a violation in the water cup. See, there was no bloodshed at that point of time. There was no animal sacrifices. There was no bloodshed. There was no animals killed. It was relative to, they had the Shekinah glory covering on them. But when this fall took place, the Shekinah glory covering removed, and they found themselves in nakedness. Now, we found in the water covenant the violation that took place. So we go over and we think of Cain and Abel, two brothers, and one of them kills the other one, and his blood cried out. Now, there was another introduction to another covenant right then. Now, let's talk about this introduction to another covenant. The Lord himself, when he found them in the cool of the day in the midst of the garden, and they were naked, he said, who told you that? He knew that something came and deceived them and lied to them. Is that right? So then what did the Lord do? He took and shed blood to cover them with skins. The water covenant had been broken. And it was an introduction to another covenant. And the Lord took and shed blood to cover them. And then we go down through the whole Old Testament. And we find bloodbath, bloodbath, bloodbath. Go into that city and kill every man, every woman, every child, every beast. Bring nothing out of it. Blood all the way through is a covenant. The Lord said, I'm not satisfied with the blood of bulls and goats, but he's only satisfied with one. Okay, now I showed you the finishing of the blood covenant, and then when we find Cain bringing a water from the farm, from the land, from the water seed, he brings this offering unto God, and God wouldn't accept it. He accepted it before. Why isn't he accepting it now? Because the water covenant had been violated. And God was not pleased no longer with this water covenant. It would not suffice no more. So now there was a blood covenant. And then when we see that Abel brought forth a blood sacrifice, or it was an animal or a meat offering, God accepted that. And it made the other brother mad and he killed him. So then we find a bloodbath all the way through. We're talking about the blood covenant now. Now listen to me and hear me out. Let me say this about the blood. I'm thankful I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Now hear that out here, okay? I am so thankful that I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. It took away my sin. It was the sacrifice. God wasn't pleased with the sacrifice of the bulls and goats, but he was pleased with the sacrifice of his only begotten Son, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So you know I'm not doing away with the blood, is that right? Come on now, I'm not doing away with the blood. I am where I am. I'm a son of God because of the blood sacrifice. I am who I am because of the works of Jesus Christ at Calvary. I cannot do away with the blood sacrifice. But now listen to me. Just as well as the Lord was not pleased with the water sacrifice, and then we introduced the blood, we're talking about the water, blood, and the Spirit. Now let's talk about some New Testament doctrine for a minute, and I'm going to finish out the blood world in just a second. But before I finish out the blood world, I'm going to speak to you some New Testament doctrine about the Spirit. Let me read right here in this passage of Scriptures. John 14:1 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Where I am, there ye may be also." Now, most people put that as something in the future that hasn't happened. But I can prove to you it's already taken place. And I'm going to say something right now to vindicate that. My Bible said that God was. Anybody read that? I can take your own revelation, read that to you. And there's a couple places that said God was, God is, and God is to come. You want to talk about the God that was? You want to talk about the Father, the Word, or the Holy Ghost? It's all one God. It says Father, Word, Holy Ghost. Said these three are one. It's one God. It's one and the same. Let me read on here, and we're going to prove that to you even more so. "And if I go to prepare a place, verse 3, for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, and the way you know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." That's pretty clear to understand. Is that correct? Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. There is no other way. He's the door. There's no other way. Buddha isn't going to get you there. Your religion ain't going to get you there. Your Baptist, your Methodist, your Pentecostal Church of God, your holiness, it ain't. It's just Jesus. Amen. Be happy with that and be satisfied with that. Amen. "If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. For from henceforth you know him and have seen him." Now, does that look like a violation of the scripture? It said you have seen him, and I can take you to another place in the Bible that said that no man has seen him. Come on now. So what are you going to do? You're going to make the Bible contradictive, or are you going to make it? No, I'm just reading to you. But I'll tell you, I understand it. Amen. "If you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip?" You sound like he's getting reproved a little bit there, doesn't it? Doesn't it sound like it a little bit he's getting reproved there a little? "Have I been such a long time with you?" Jesus said unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Glorified in the Son. I could take you back over to John 3. He said, "Beloved, now you are the sons of God." Let's talk about this for a second. Some people in their Christianity or their Christian theology believe that God has left us on this earth to get our brains beat out for 2,000 years. The Bible said that a deferred hope sickeneth the heart. A lot of preachers saying, "Oh, come on, hang on, God's coming for us someday, praise God." Do you preach that, Brother Rob? Let me tell you what I preach. I understand the God that was, the God that is. The God that is has never left me nor forsaken me. He's never left his seed begging for bread. He is in me and through me. I could take and show that to you in there. He was talking about him and the Father and the Father within him and him. But he goes on. Go on and read it. And he's in us and we're in him. Amen. Go back and read John 10 also. Very clear there about where we're at and where he's at. Now what you do, the Bible said, what you do the least of these, my brethren. What you do to the least of these, Brother John. What you do to the least of these, Brother Paul, is what you do unto me. I was in the hospital and you visited me not. I was in prison. They said, "But Lord, when was you?" He said, "What you done to the least." You see, you might slam the door in a guy's face, knock on your door and say, "Hey, brother, I want to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with you." And once you invite you to church, they say, I ain't interested, slam the door. They just done that to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said, wait a minute, Brother Rob. He said it was no longer I speaking, but it was the Father speaking. Amen. Isn't that what he said? So the thing is that if Jesus said, what you've done to the least, you've done unto me. And it says, goes on to say that they're sick and afflicted among you because they don't discern the body of God. And I could mistreat a brother in the Lord or a sister, and I've done that as unto the Lord. Come on now. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to get you into the revelation to know your importance in God and why he's got you in this earth and what you're here for. We condescend from heaven to men of a less estate to bring the good news and glad tidings of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. These people are going to die and go to hell unless somebody goes to them. God needs a voice in the earth and he's going to use man. I hope that doesn't alarm you. He's going to use man. He told them in Matthew 28:19, he said, go into all the world, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And they fulfilled that. Why do you go baptize them? We just want to get them wet? No, the Bible said for the remission of sin. Well, water doesn't wash away sin. No, the blood does. This oil doesn't heal you, but my Bible commands me to anoint them with oil and to pray for them a prayer of faith. And it said they shall be healed. I fulfill the word. So I fulfill the word and I take them down to water. If they don't have faith in the blood and what Jesus done in the shedding of his blood, that water, they're just going to bring them up wet. But I believe I'm burying them. Amen. Because they've been crucified with Christ. And the life that they now live in the flesh, according to Galatians 2. It said now they live this life in the flesh by faith in God. And I bury them because they've been crucified with Christ. And when I bring them forth, I'm bringing forth a new creature in Christ Jesus. Do you have faith to believe that? Or otherwise, you're just going through the motions and playing religious games. We got to believe in the word. When I anoint somebody with oil, I believe that God is going to heal them because I'm being obedient to his word. Okay, let me go on now. Let me go on down to 13. Let me just read just for a moment more, and we're gonna speed up here a little bit. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Let him be glorified in you. Let the power of the Holy Ghost, the same Spirit, the Bible said, the same Spirit that dwelled in Jesus Christ. What Spirit was in him? The Holy Spirit. See, that Holy Spirit had never been personified. It was invisible. No man had ever seen it. But now it came into the Word flesh. Jesus, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. There's your person right there. Now that Spirit had been in a person. That means it's been personified. And when that Spirit came out, it was no longer called the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it had been personified. Now it's the ghost of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Come on now. Where's it at now? It came and dwelling and living in me and in you, the many-membered body. Don't limit God. Why did we get filled with the Holy Ghost for we could speak in tongues? Are you that shallow, my Pentecostal brothers and sisters, that you just got the Holy Ghost for you can go to church and speak in tongues? How dead is that? We got filled with the Holy Ghost and said, you go there until you're endued with power. We got the power of the Holy Ghost to raise the dead, to cast out devils, to speak God's word, to speak those things that are not and bring them into existence and bring forth life. We need to know who we are. I'm not against speaking in tongues. I pray in tongues and speak in tongues. But the Holy Ghost is much greater than that. And what we've done is we've got all these little things to make us feel like we've received the word. Oh, sure they did. We see in Acts 2 and Acts 9 and Acts 10 and Acts 19 that they spoke in tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. But is that the only evidence you got of being filled with the Holy Ghost? If you don't have power, brothers and sisters, I don't care how much you speak in tongues. If you don't have power to come out of the world and be a peculiar people, to be a separate people, I could care less how much you talk in tongues. I've met too many tongue-talking devils. Are you coming against tongues? No. I'm coming against the ideology. I've seen too many preachers that were laying with women in the church and running off and breaking up homes come to church and speak in tongues, and everybody say, oh, there's the anointing of God. No. The Bible said when they stood before him, it said, I cast out devils in your name and I prophesied. I laid hands on the sick and they recovered. And what did he say to them? He said, I never knew you, ye that work iniquity. Depart from me. And they were cast into darkness in a lake of fire. What do you mean you never knew them? You know all things, God. He said, Joseph didn't know Mary until after Jesus was born. Jesus had some brothers, half brothers. Come on now. Catholic Church don't believe that. They say that Mary was a virgin, born a virgin and died one. The Immaculate Conception, they say. Catholic Church is wrong. Mary can't save you, Mr. Catholic brother. And when you pray to Mary and you think that she's the mother of God, I'm sorry to say this to you, but you are more than ignorant. Ignorance is a nice word for you. That's a compliment. Get born again and come out of it. Amen. My wife used to be Catholic. She loves me too, huh? You can't talk to people like that and they love you. Sure you can when they get their eyes open up and they find out that, you know what, man, thank you, preacher, for setting me free from this thing. Come on now. Amen. Y'all love the Lord? Are you starting to understand your responsibility? Did you get this Holy Ghost for you could just come to church three times a week, speak in tongues and shout a little bit and go back home and die? Or did you receive the power? It said, go and tarry there until you're endued with power. What's this power for? To be witnesses. You see, I believe in holiness, brethren. I'm a witness. I've got to witness something. So I don't dress holy for my salvation. I am salvation. Now, please hear me out a minute. I know that could sound offensive. But let me tell you what my brother said. You know who my brother is? His name's Jesus. He was the firstborn of many brethren. And when he come up to Lazarus' tomb, since y'all mentioned about Lazarus and him calling him forth from the dead, but when he was coming up to the tomb there, they said, well, are you talking about in the resurrection? Mary asked him. Are you talking about in the resurrection? What did Jesus say? Now, this was before the resurrection. Now, you know this. Jesus had not been crucified yet. Is that right? And they asked him, so are you talking about in the resurrection? He said, what did he say? Come on, what did he say? I am the resurrection. Now, he said that, and he was the firstborn of many brethren, huh? So can I say that? Now, let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible said we're children of the resurrection. Come on now. So let's talk about what kind of child is that? It's the Son of God. Come on now. The Bible says this, that when Jesus was going along, and he was doing mighty, wonderful, great works, and he asked him, he said, for what good works have I done that you want to take these stones up and stone me? And they looked at him and they said, it's not for the good works that you've done, but you're a mere man making yourself to be God. Do you all remember what Jesus' reply was to that? He said, but isn't it also written that ye are gods? That's what Jesus said. And you say, preacher, you're not teaching your congregation that they are gods, are you? No, I'm teaching them what Jesus told them. Huh? And Jesus said, ye are gods. But they said, but you die like mere men because of one reason, a lack of knowledge. Now let's talk about me. Are you a God, Brother Rob? Oh, God have mercy. I'm a fat man. Huh? Man, look, I'm losing my hair. Come on now. I probably got bad breath. And man, if I don't scrub these dudes, man, every day, man, we got a problem. I'm a man, okay? Is that what you want to hear? Yeah, I'm a man. My feet stink sometimes, huh? I got to wash them dudes. Got to brush my teeth. Man, that kind of man's kind of gross, isn't he? Come on now. Oh, but I met this little guy, little sister says, oh, he's so cute. And I said, no, he's still got bad breath. His feet still stink. I love y'all. I don't know how you put up with me, honestly. I'm just helping you out a little bit. We're differentiating here. I was born as a man. I was appointed unto death. Okay? It's appointed unto man to die and the judgment. Okay, so now this appointment to death has to be met. Jesus came and met that appointment of death for me, and he said he abolished it. I just happened to believe that by faith in God. So then I could say that I passed from death unto life. Okay? The Bible said that we're more than conquerors, doesn't it? Come on now. The Bible said death has been abolished. Come on. Do you believe that Jesus done it? When he said it was finished, do you believe that he done come for what he came to do? I believe it. He's not going to go back and be crucified on a cross no more for you. He come and done exactly what he said. How many believe the Word of God says that you are a new creature in Christ? How many can believe that? You're a new creature. What is that creature? Is he a man? No, you were born in your first birth as a man. You were born as a man with a sense of death and a curse to go back to the dust. But now you're born again. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. You are a born again child of God. He said, you're God's. That's what he said. Go read Psalms 82. So we're talking about your new creature. I'm not talking about your man. I'm not talking about you as a flesh. That part's been buried in the sea of forgetfulness. It was the sin part. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we're differentiating the water world, blood world, spirit world. Now let me close with this. These things take a lot of time to get into all the scriptures and the word and the foundations to build you to understand these things. But it's the word of God, brethren. So now, I talked to you about the water seed. The apple, the orange, the grass, the flowers, da da da. I talked to you about the black man, the white man, the yellow man, and the blood seed, the physical seed. Now there's a seed in the spiritual realm. Come on now. The seed was placed in the woman. Now the Bible says that light being formed in darkness. The Bible also says that the same spirit that dwelled within Jesus Christ will dwell in your mortal. See, this is mortal. Okay, this is flesh, it's mortal. Okay, it's going to go back to dust. Come on, I don't care how spiritual you are. The Apostle Paul, great brother, man, went back to the dust. Come on now. But he's present with the Lord, amen. He's absent from that body and present with God, amen. Come on now. So we're differentiating water, blood, spirit, natural, physical, spiritual, first heaven, second heaven, third heaven. My spirit man's already caught away into heavenly places, hid away in Christ, and that's what nothing could touch. Why? Because I'm predestined in Jesus Christ. I believe that. Oh, so you think that he chose you before the world ever was? That's what he said. He said he put my name down in the book of life when I was yet still in my sin and before the world ever was. The Bible said he was crucified before this world ever was. You just need to get in the Word. So are you a Calvinist, Brother Rob, and you think that you can go live like a dog and live like a devil and you're a Calvinist and yet you're just born of God and that you can't sin and this and that? No, I'm not a Calvinist. Let me tell you something. If I continue on in sin, the Bible says God forbid. But see, I've been endued with power. You know what that power's for? To put my foot on the head of the serpent. It's for me to wake up in the morning and mortify my mind and my flesh and my wants and my desires and say, here I am, Lord God, I'm your servant. I'm giving you my life as a living sacrifice. This is just my reasonable service. I'm not going to wake up this morning and tell you what state I'm going to be in or what state I'm going to live in or where I'm going to do or where I'm going to preach what I'm doing. Here I am, Lord God. If you want me to dig the ditch, I'm here. I'm your servant. Amen. To enter into the kingdom, you must become as a child. So don't be telling God what you're going to do. He ain't interested. Just say, here I am, Lord. Use me in whatever measure. I'd rather be a doorkeeper. Just dwell in the tents with the wicked. Amen. The Bible said the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. This is how you know they're a son of God, because they're led by the Spirit of God. Now, if you're led by the flesh, then what are you? You're fleshly. So what are we? What are you led by? So now, as I say so oftentimes, if I got to take up my cross daily and I got to mortify this mind, if I got to transform this mind, if I got to come into the mind of Jesus Christ that thought I'm not robber to be equal with God, then I've got another mind that's an enemy of God, that I've got to cast down every vain imagination and every thought that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God, and I got to cast those things down. So now I'm finding that my Bible's teaching me that I'm in a continual warfare, and the things that I want to do, I'm not doing those things, and the things that I find myself doing, I shouldn't be doing. So what am I going to do with this? Now, this was a great man of God that said this, the Apostle Paul. So now we're differentiating. So I'm going to kill that one every day. Now, if you kill something, it is no good, is it? But you got to bring something to life, is that right? So if I'm commanded in the scriptures to mortify and kill something out, I better be resurrecting something every day. Is that right? Come on, brethren, what are we resurrecting? We're resurrecting the Christ, the anointed one, the mind that thought it not robbery to be equal with God. We're resurrecting the mind with all authority and all power. You understand it? The mind of revelation, the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Now, what does this mind do? Well, let me ask you something. Has anybody ever heard the terminology that you're out of your mind? Some look at me and say, dude, you're out of your mind. I said, praise God. Thank you as a compliment because I'm in his mind. My mind is death. My mind is arrogant. My mind thinks too highly of itself. My mind has pride. I'm supposed to mortify that. And I got to come into the mind of Christ. The mind that loves. The mind that wants to teach. The mind that wants to swear to its own hurt and suffer the wrong. The mind that wants to go to humanity and mankind and say, you know what? Jesus died for you. He shed his blood for you. He gave you all authority and all power that you could walk and tread your feet upon the scorpions and on the serpents. That you've got the power over death. That you've passed from death unto life. That nothing could be laid to your charge. Nothing could touch you. Amen. You're hid away in him. You're eternal. You're living forever. Hallelujah. You're more than a conqueror. Can you receive that, saints of God? We're the sons of God. We're eternal. We're living forever. We're not looking for eternal life. We are eternal life. And we're bringing it to humanity and saying, hey, come follow me. Amen. Follow me and I'll show you where the kingdom is. If you think that's arrogance, I'm just speaking as a son of God. I'm speaking what my Father gave me. He said he's given me everything that pertaineth unto life. Why should I speak in death? Why should I come to you in church and say, oh, I'm just an old good man. Man, I could make you miserable in just a second. Oh, my back hurts. Oh, my feet hurt. Oh, I got a headache. Oh, my teeth hurt. Shut up. Jesus is the high priest of my profession, and I profess it. Praise his name. Hallelujah. He's my Lord, my God, my King, and he's given me everything. Hallelujah. Come on, isn't that a little better? Can you believe that? Do you feel like you've passed from death unto life? Or are you going to walk around in death? Now let me tell you, what is death? What is death? It's not when they put somebody in a box out there. That's not death. That could be sleep. The Bible said some are twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Come on now. You say, what's born again? I can say it's a second birth. You say born again, it's a second birth. Would that be wrong to say? Well, that's not Bible. Well, born again, second time, second birth. The Bible said twice dead. What does that mean? They died twice? But then yet they're still alive. They said they walk among us and they're full of dead men's bones. They're twice dead, plucked up by the roots. What does that mean? They've got no life in them, and they cannot find salvation in this world or the world to come. They're cut off from God. There's no hope for them. That's what the Bible says. I'm telling you. You say, oh, I believe that as long as there's breath in their lungs, they got hope. Well, I'm sorry, you're wrong. There's some that sought God for repentance and couldn't find it. That's the Bible. Esau sought God with bitter tears of repentance and could not find it. The Lord himself said this. He said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. And they were still in mama's womb. They were still in the mother's womb. And this great God that I'm trusting my train said he hated that little child. You know why? Because God is all-knowing, and he saw the works of that child before it ever took its first breath, and he saw that I accepted him. He saw that I had faith in his works. He saw that I've received his word, and his word set me free, and he saw that before the world ever was, and he inscribed my name in the book of life and engraved them in the palms of his hands, and I'm predestined in Jesus Christ, and I'm living forever with him. Now, if I go back into the world, you know what the Bible says? It said it was just to be made manifest. I was never of him. You say, oh, he was born again and he went back. No, he was never born again. It was to be made manifest. He was never of him. The man that stood before the Lord and said, I prophesied in your name. I cast out devils in your name. I laid hands on the sick. He said, I never knew you. He didn't say, I once knew you, but you messed up and, you know, get out of here. He said, I never knew you. I never knew you. Amen. Joseph didn't know Mary until after Jesus was birthed. What he was saying, he said, that seed that keepeth you from sin never entered into you. Because the only way that seed could come into you is in a marriage relationship. He washed you with his blood and made you without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, the bride, white as snow. And when you were washed and made cleansed, you went before the king. Go to the Old Testament. The woman went through ritualistics of washings and cleansing for a year, and then going before the king. And she was inspected and examined, and she was a virgin, pure and clean. Amen. So the thing is we've been inspected, brother, because we've been washed by the blood of the Lamb, and we've been taken in before the King of Kings as that spotless bride. Amen. And we went into relationship within the knowing. He knows us. We went into the relationship and the seed come in us, and it keepeth us from sin. We've passed from death unto life. Amen. I could take you over in the book of Revelation now and show you that when the woman was there in heaven, travailing to bring forth a child. But there's no marriage or given to marriage in heaven, Brother Rob. There's no marriage or given to marriage in heaven. And there's no male or female there. Now you're going to tell me you went over in the book of Revelations and you saw a woman in heaven? That just don't sound right. And I said, that's the second heaven. The woman was in the second heaven, not in the third. The child that was born was caught up. It said, as soon as the child was born, there was a red dragon there to devour the child. The red dragon has to do with your blood life, physical life. And that red dragon there, your old mind, your old carnal mind that thinks it's religious, thinks it knows God, and it'll sit there and devour the child as soon as it's born. You need to let that child come up and rule. Amen. And let him rule over the affairs of your life. You find yourself submitting to that inner quickening of the Spirit of God in you. And quit trying to be the woman a supping authority over the man. See, if I'm the bride of Christ and I keep a supping authority over my Lord and my God, it's the woman a supping authority. And the woman's to be silent in this thing. And she needs to submit to him and say, here I am, Lord God, I'm yours, I'm your servant, use me. Take this vessel and use it for your glory. Use it for your honor. Spin me and spin me well, Lord God. Use me up, Lord God. Amen. That's what he's looking for, a living sacrifice. Let's give him a hand. Amen. Come on, saints of God. Hallelujah. We got something to praise our Lord for. He's our God, our salvation. He's our King. Amen. Hallelujah. He's our life. Amen. We are nothing without him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Does it feel okay out there, brother? Feels pretty good up here. I'm about ready to run through a troop and leap over a wall here. I believe what I'm saying. I don't believe what I'm saying. I'm believing what he said, and he's utilizing me. He said, no longer the minister speaking, but Christ speaking through him. Amen. It's the Spirit of God. What Spirit? The Father. The Father's in me, and I'm within him. Are you in the Father? Well, I've got the Son living in me. Praise God. I agree with that, but when the Father came and dwelled in the fullness in the Son, when the Spirit came out, it was the Holy Ghost, and when it comes back in, he come into me in the Son's name, isn't he? He said, my Father will send one back in my name. That's what Jesus said. So you go to Matthew 28:19, and said, go ye into all the world, baptizing him in the name, in A-M-E. There's no authority in the name Father until you give a name. There's no authority in the name Son. If my dad says, go down, Son, and charge it on my account, I get down there and say, put it on my dad's account, I'm his son. Well, I need a name. There's no other name given among men that thou shalt be saved. It's Jesus. Now, if you go in Matthew 28:17, 18, and 19, it said all authority and all power had been given unto him, talking about Jesus. And he gave him the commission. The 11 disciples were there. They knew who he was, didn't they? And they went and fulfilled it. You go over into Acts, the second chapter, and when they saw the power of the Holy Ghost come on them, he commanded them. Didn't ask them, he commanded them to go be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. There's no authority in Father. There's no authority in Son. The name is Jesus. He's my Lord. He's my God. He's my salvation. He is life. Amen. And he's got all authority. And you need to find out where the lie came from. It came from Catholicism. You say, brother, you're upset. No, I ain't upset. I just don't like the devil to lie. Amen. I know how to run him off. You say, I don't think it matters. It don't matter. When the Bible said there's no other name given among men, it doesn't matter when Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life, I'm the door. There's no other way to enter in. And if you think you can do it outside of him, then why do you, Mr. Trinitarian friend, Why do you say that I got to pray in the name of Jesus? How come every time you cast out a devil, you say, I adjure you, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ? But when it comes to remitting sin, you go down in the name of titles. No authority. No authority, I'm sorry. Authority's in the name. Don't forget it. Amen, it's important. A lady wrote me a letter. She said, Brother, I've been baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. You know, the Spirit of God came on me, and I've been baptized. May have spoken tongues, may have danced, may have ran around the building 45 times. I don't know, I'm just speaking in your language, amen? She said, I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. I don't think it's necessary for me to be baptized in Jesus' name. And I said, you're violating the Word of God. If you go over to Acts 10, and they went over to the house of Cornelius, and they saw the Holy Ghost come upon them, ones that were numbered unclean, the Gentiles, and it said they seen them speak in tongues as the Spirit of God came on them. And what did Peter say? He said, would any forbid these water that we've seen that God give them the Holy Ghost? Would any forbid these water? And he commanded it. He said the word command. He commanded them to go be baptized in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for the remission. He was standing there when Jesus gave the commission. Peter was there, and Peter fulfilled it the way God told him to. And they say, are you going to believe Peter or Jesus? I've had some of them say that to me. Are you going to believe Peter or Jesus? I'm going to believe what Jesus said. He said, go and baptize them in the name of the Father. And he said, I've come in my Father's name. Hallelujah. What is it? It's Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. And he said, I'm going to send one back to you in my name. The Holy Ghost came in his name. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why I say I got Jesus in me. Why? Because I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And without his Spirit, I'm none of his. Just simple old gospel preaching. Let's give him a hand. Amen. Praise God. Let me tell you something. I was baptized in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost by a Trinitarian preacher, and I was full of the Holy Ghost. And I was walking in the anointing of God. I was laying hands on people. They were being healed and things, but I come to this revelation. Got my eyes opened up, and you know what I did? Found a water hole over on a February day, and it was cold. Amen. And they took this guy. And they baptized him in the name of Jesus because the word is going to be fulfilled. Let me tell you something. Was it not necessary for Jesus to go to the cross for you, brother or sister? Come on now. The Bible said he was crucified before the world ever was. Come on now. He was crucified before this world ever was. He was crucified before the beginning. Come on now. But he found it necessary to come and fulfill all righteousness and was crucified. He found itself necessary. God come and robed himself in the flesh, and he sought after a water hole, and they took him and they baptized him. Amen. And if it's good enough for my God, my Savior, my salvation, to come walk among men and go to the water hole and be baptized, I'm sure not going to forbid water. Amen. I'm going to find me a water hole, and I'm going to be baptized in the name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin. Let's give him a hand. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. It's okay to be excited about Jesus, ain't it? Amen. Come on now, is it excited to be a son of God? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'd just be one of them guys that enjoy my salvation. I ain't walking around going, oh God, devil's been beating me up all day. Somebody slap him in the next week. Amen. Oh, you slap him and now turn his cheek around where I can get him too, brother. Bible said we turn the other cheek. Let's get him twice. Amen. I'm talking about slapping the devil. Come on, when he gets in that old flesh. Can you say amen? Huh? Is it okay? I'll open up the sacred desk to you right now. If you have found me in violation of the written word of God, sacred desk is here. I'll open it up to you. And I say, come on, bring the word on. You come up here and I'll give you adequate time, however much time you... To show me, you know what, I'm not going to get mad at you if you reprove me and rebuke me if I'm outside the word. I'm going to shake hands and say, thank you, brother. I appreciate you and I love you, man, and thank you, because I don't want no error in my life. I don't have a spirit of error, but I've made mistakes. But let me tell you what I preached tonight. It come from the Holy Ghost. There's a spirit of life living and moving through me. Amen. And this was his word. Amen. I'm not preaching something that I haven't examined and considered and searched and looked. Try the Spirit, Bible says, see if it be of God. Amen. I had to try these. Some of these things come to you by thought, and you say, whoa, Jesus, help me out here a little bit. I've wrestled with the Lord at nighttime, saying, oh, God, help me here. Amen. I want to say some things, number one, to encourage my sister here and to strengthen her. I made some statements in the ministering tonight that these physical eyes aren't as important to God as spiritual eyes. Did y'all see that? If my eyes offend you, pluck them out. If I pluck them out, I might learn to see it in the spirit. He don't want me to plug my eyes out, but he would rather me plug my eyes out and just go to hell with my eyesight or my hands. She feels that he isn't where he needs to be, that he's not born again. Okay, so I'm dealing with her now. We're going to pray for her daddy, but right now I'm dealing with her. You see, cancer is a terrible thing, isn't it? It's a hideous thing. I've seen people that I've loved and dear to me. I've seen it eat them up. I've seen it destroy them. I've watched them fade away and wither away. But I'll talk about a man I loved a whole lot. It was my uncle. And I loved him. He was an old carnal man, but he was an honest man. Brother, he had better morals than most Christian people in the way that he would do a man. He wouldn't take advantage of somebody. He wouldn't rob somebody. Had anybody ever been cheated by somebody who said he's a Christian? Anybody ever hire a contract, say, oh yeah, I'm born again, and they rob you and take advantage of you? You know, we know what the Bible teaches, but I'm just telling you this. But my uncle got cancer. He went through a 6-year fight and a bout with cancer, suffering. I watched a man wither away. And I watched in the withering way, the Bible said, ye that suffer in the flesh. Now this is Bible, saints. Ye that suffer in the flesh, cease from sin. Sin is the sting of death. And if this sister loves her father so much that she wants to see her daddy get born again and pass from death unto life, and the Lord, because he's not obedient, obedience is better than sacrifice, but because daddy isn't obedient and cancer comes, it could be the ordination of God to save his soul and set him free. Let's give Jesus a hand, amen. So you say, let's pray that God heals him, and we might be getting in the way. We say, God, have your way in the name of Jesus. If it's going to take suffering for this man to enter into the kingdom of God, let him suffer. Hey, the suffering with cancer has nothing to compare to damnation and hell. See, people don't like this. They got this God. They just want, everybody wants them to, oh, just heal me. Let me tell you, he would rather see a man suffer. I'm telling you, look it up for yourself. Ye that suffer in the flesh, cease from sin. I don't want to see her daddy suffer, brethren. I got compassion. I would like to lay hands on him. I'd like to speak. We've spoke to cancer before and it left him. It left him. The doctors gave him 3 months to live. We laid hands. We prayed for him. We spoke the word. We spoke the word and it's moved through the airways. It's moved through the telephone. It's moved through the cameras and people have been delivered and set free from cancer. I can start testifying to you of the miracles that we've seen. But there's a greater miracle than being set free from cancer, and it's being set free from the thing that's eating him alive. And it's the carnal mind of death. He needs to get born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. Let's get real, man. This life is temporal. It's here for just a moment. And if daddy's got to suffer to make it into the kingdom, let's pray. Say, God, have your way. Let him recognize his suffering. Let him call out your name, Lord Jesus. Let him get real and let him cease from sin. Let him cease from those things and get born again. This is the way God wants us to pray. Amen. Be of good courage, sister. Father God, I thank you, Lord God. I thank you that this loving daughter has love for her father in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, oh, mighty God, I ask right now for peace in this sister's heart right now. Father God, that whatever the reports come or whatever happens, let her have that peace, Lord God, to know that you're working this thing after her counsel, hallelujah, after your counsel, Lord God, that you're moving in this father's behalf in the name of Jesus. Oh, mighty God, as I feel the virtue of my Lord and Savior, Jesus, I speak peace, strength, anointing, and power in Jesus' name. And Father God, I ask you to visit this daddy. Oh, Lord God, visit him in his sleep, Lord God. Talk to him, Lord God. Let him repent, Lord God. Not just cry out and say, I'm sorry. Let him turn, Almighty God, to you, Father God, and let you be real to him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, help him, Lord God. Father God, we know that you could drive that spirit of cancer far from him. Father God, but we ask you, Lord God, to put his name in the book, Almighty God. Lord God, and bring him in. And Father, if he shortens his days by disobedience, so be it, Lord God. But put his name in the book of life, Almighty God. For this sister's sake right here, as she's committed her works unto you, Lord God, let there be an increase in her household, Lord God. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord. I praise you. Expect a miracle, sister. Hallelujah. I believe. Amen. Hallelujah. I got peace. You know what peace is? It surpasses all understanding. And let me tell you something. The jailer, amen, when he didn't put him to death, amen, he added his whole household. Come on now. Noah found faith with God, and he brought his whole household into the boat with him, amen. But Noah was a righteous man and found faith with God. And I say this sister found faith with God, and God could add her family. Dad could add her lost daddy in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's give him a hand. I believe. Hallelujah. I believe. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Jesus Christ is the high priest of my profession. I profess that her daddy will repent of his sin and get born again and filled with the Holy Ghost and walk in the kingdom of God. Can you believe that with me? Come on, he's the high priest of my profession. He is yours too. Can you simply believe? Somebody's got to get a hold of God. Somebody's got to have faith. Amen. Hallelujah. It's okay, ain't it, Brother Andy? Amen. Sister Bertha, this is a good time. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Sister Bertha likes to come over here and fellowship with the sons of God. And I like to see my sister coming over here. Amen. Fellowshipping with us. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You didn't know you had such a light-complected brother, did you? You're my sister. I love you. Amen. You're supposed to bring your daughter with you and that granddaughter. Are you going to make an excuse? Okay. All right, we're going to show a little mercy this time. Just a little bit. All right. We love you. Praise God. Y'all love the Lord?
Amen.
Let's give him a hand. We're going to close. It's still early yet. I think it's halftime. God's good, isn't he, Brother John? Pray for Brother Ed. Sister Barbara is a couple that the first service we had in North Carolina. They were there. And I think there was about a period of time of 8 years. If I recall right, I could stand corrected, but I think it was about 8 years. Never missed one church service. Not one Wednesday night. Not one Friday night. Not one Sunday morning. Yeah, say, oh, cock-a-doodle-doo, so be it. And you know what? I just like faithfulness. I like loyalty to the house of God. Yeah, there's people go to every church and go to hell. Yeah, I understand that. But the brother's loyal and faithful, and so is his wife. Amen. It ain't too often they're not here, is it? Some of you, this might be the first service you've been in without him. Amen. Pray for them. They're good brothers and sisters. Wonderful people. The Bible said many are the affliction of the righteous, but he does say something else, doesn't he? He said, he shall deliver us from them all. I believe that. Amen. God has delivered me from more than one death sentence. Come on now. He has. You say, I don't know, preacher. Well, I could start sharing some of them with you. But he set me free from things that doctors have no cure from. I'm sorry to say I was an ignorant heathen. I'm not proud of it. I don't talk to people, oh, I drank more than you drank. Oh, yeah, I fixed heroin. No, I'm not proud of them days. I was a fool. I was ignorant. Demons got a hold of my life as a young kid, 14 years old, sticking a needle in my arm because I want to be like my big brother. My big brother's dead. But you know what I got from putting a needle in my arm? Hepatitis C, incurable. You know what it does to your kidneys and liver? They run blood tests on me, and my blood was all out of whack because my kidneys and liver wasn't working right. They wanted to do a biopsy on my liver, and I said, ain't necessary. 5 blood tests proven I had hepatitis C, and they were trying to see how much liver damage I had. And the doctor calls me, and he said, look, Ron, he said, man, I got no explanation for this. He goes, you don't have hepatitis C one day, and the next day don't have it. But he said, I can't find it in your body now, and I got 5 blood tests proving you got it. And he said, I can't find it now. You know what I said to him on the phone? I said, sir, all I got one thing to say is, I said, thank you, Jesus, and my Lord is real. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's give Jesus a hand. Amen. Then they wanted to do another liver biopsy on me because they found hemochromatosis in me. I couldn't even say that word at first. I thought I got the Holy Ghost first time I said it. Hereditary hemochromatosis. You know what that is? It's incurable. And you know what they want to do to people that have that? That when their blood work was way out of whack like mine, it was supposed to be down like around 100 and some. Mine was 2,600. And they said, we got to do emergency liver biopsy on you. And it's not necessary. And they said, no, we need to do this right now. And I said, no, sir, it isn't necessary. Amen. So they said, you know, I testified my Lord and my God and my Savior to him. And they said, well, it'll show up in blood work. So I went and gave some blood work, and they go, whoa. They wanted me to give blood. And they said I'd have to give a pint of blood a week for a minimum of a year to get my blood right. And I thought, you know, Jesus, you gave your blood, I could do that. I'm just testifying God, saints. But I told him, I said, no, it won't be necessary. But I thought, Lord, if I got to give blood, I can. So before they would take my blood, they had to have a blood count. So when I went to give a blood count, the blood count come back, I didn't have no need to give blood. Can somebody give Jesus a hand? Hallelujah. The same doctor. He said, man, I don't know how you can have 2,600 one day. I know how. I got a Lord and Savior that took a beating on the cross of Calvary for my sins and for my iniquities. And he took them stripes upon his back for my healing and for yours as well. Isn't that wonderful? I believe that, saints of God. Hallelujah. And he took those things away. When they told my wife that I wouldn't live through the night when I broke my neck in 3 places, she said, the Lord spoke to her and said, be still and know that I'm God. The ambulance driver said, woman, do you know what kind of shape your husband's in? Why, they were taking me out of one emergency room, rushing me to a trauma center. But Lord done spoke to her and said, be still and know that I'm God. And I'm supposed to be a quadriplegic. Supposed to have been in the hospital for 6 months, and I walked out in 10 days. You know why? Because somebody believed. Somebody had faith. There was a church praying. Amen. And they said, he's not even supposed to be breathing. Then he said he ain't supposed to be moving. He ain't supposed to have no feeling. We don't understand. Why is he moving his limbs? His number 2 vertebrae is totally severed in half. I don't know if it's called a vertebrae. What do they call it? Cervical. It's the hangman one, they call it. Praise God. You see, I've heard this. I'm just trying to encourage somebody's faith that they could receive, because my God's the same to every generation. And my God is no respecter of person. And if you got cancer tonight, God will heal it. It don't matter what it is. I don't care what the disease is. God will heal it. My God's real. He's alive. He's on the throne. Somebody needs to believe him. Amen. Believe him. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Can you simply believe, saints of God? We got people around us that are dying. We got friends that are going to hell. Somebody's going to have to start getting a hold of the throne of God and getting faith and start believing. Amen. Praise God. Let's give him one more hand. Hallelujah, Brother John.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.